So I'm going to begin today with a story for everybody, a modern parable about a shepherd, which honestly I'm really impressed with myself that I have one of those in my repertoire, because how many modern parables of a shepherd do most people have? But this is one a friend told me a while back, and it's about a young man who is so excited because he's met this fabulous new girlfriend. And in the age-old tradition of meeting a fabulous new girlfriend, it also meant meeting the fabulous new girlfriend's parents. So on this particular evening, the gentleman and his girlfriend were going to meet these parents who, amazingly enough, made their living by herding sheep. They were shepherds. And the woman warned him, "Now you have to understand, if you are late to my parents' house for dinner, they will eat without you." Because this is a very ritualistic family. He realized that they always ate at the same time, not the same time of day, but the same time before sunset. They always ate about an hour before sunset. They never took a vacation. Every dinner, every evening, it was exactly the same. An hour before sunset, the family would sit down together, eat their meal, and if you were late, you were really gonna miss it. So they arrived, of course, as you would expect, early for this family dinner. They ate probably some sort of hearty meal, and the young man was very surprised and not a little bit frightened when his father-in-law pushed back from the table and said, "Well, you're gonna help me bring the sheep in or what?" Which, as is often the case with in-law questions, was not really a question at all. It was, in fact, a test. And the young man knew well enough to say, "Uh-huh." And a lot of thoughts went through his mind, like, what exactly could this entail? Does this involve, like, walking around some sort of a lovely pasture with a crook and a sort of cane and singing pastoral songs to sheep and telling them to go to bed? Like, what exactly is it that we're going to do? And he was very surprised when his father-in-law, who was a pretty silent man, he really didn't talk much, sort of lumbered out of the house on his old knees and walked up to an ancient, rusty, creaky old Ford truck and opened the door and climbed in. The young man, of course, climbed on in with him. "Come on in there in the back. You all don't have to hang out back there. Join us. Don't stare at him, though. Make him nervous. It's all good. Over here. We're not going to stare at you. We're going to be welcoming. But anywho, so he climbs into this rusty old Ford truck, and he cranks it on, and the sound of that thing was like thunder. Because I think this old Ford truck was not only rusty and creaky, but had like no muffler and some kind of crazy, squeaky exhaust systems. I'm not really an auto mechanic, so I can't tell you. But it had a very loud and distinct sound. And they rolled along up the hill toward the sheep pasture in this ancient, loud, distinctively loud truck, all the while the young man wondering what the heck was going to happen exactly. And when they reached the top of the hill, the old man stopped the truck. He stopped. He didn't say a word. And he looked out over the pasture that was dotted with white sheep like dandelions. You know when dandelions get in their fluffy stage and they're like big white clouds of puff? That's what it looked like a million dandelions all over this pasture, all down a hill and into the valley. And without saying a word, the old man put his hand on the horn of that truck and went, "Honk!" And every single head in that pasture turned directly to him. They had heard the voice of their shepherd. And without another word, he put his bony arm outside the window of that truck and whacked the side panel of that truck door. Wham! 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 And at the end of three whacks, all of those sheep, like a stream of white, ran down the hill and down to the barn where they would be bedded for the night, where they would be safe, where they would be warm for the evening. And the young man all of a sudden realized that as those sheep ran down to their safe place for the night, after those sheep heard the voice of their shepherd, which was nothing more glamorous than honk, wham, 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 the sun set over that beautiful valley. And he understood why his future in-laws never took vacation. He understood why this simple ritual was so important. He understood what it was that this man did with his life. He tended these sheep. He guided them home. He pointed them in the right direction. And every time this young man came for dinner at these people's house, he, of course, went wordlessly with his future father-in-law to herd the sheep in for the evening. And every time he experienced the overwhelming awe and joy and honor of it. And when 2 years later, against everybody's predictions, the old man finally took a vacation to Florida, he invited his son-in-law to take over the job for him. And he thought, never would they listen to me, never could I have that voice of the shepherd. But he drove that creaky truck up the hill and was so glad to hear the same whining, thundering noise. And just as he reached the top of the hill and sunset was about to happen, he himself pushed the horn, honk, whack, whack, whack. And the sheep ran down the hill, and he knew that he too could speak with the voice of the shepherd. There is a common thread throughout much of the world's religions connected with the shepherd and the good work of shepherding. Many of us are familiar with the ancient strains of the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the Hebrew scriptures tell us that many of the great patriarchs of the Hebrew people made their living as shepherds. No less than Abraham, Jacob, Moses, King David, and the prophet Amos all tended sheep for a living. And it usually happened in the mythic stories of their lives just before they took a position of public prominence. They spent their lives tending sheep, and then they spent their lives being prophets. Somehow the act of shepherding must have prepared them, must have served as a literary symbol for a person who could lead with mercy and gentleness, for a person whose voice was worth listening to. They all followed in their own ways the simple and rhythmic patterns of that old man in his truck. Call and they will hear you. Lead them to a safe place and they will follow. These shepherds were not CEOs. They were not managers or motivational speakers or megachurch pastors or even terribly righteous men all the time. They were shepherds. They guided the flock home. And they were not alone. The prophet Muhammad himself was a shepherd, and he is said to have prided himself on standing in such a long line of servants to the people. And long before Muhammad, quite separate from the monotheistic traditions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the Lord Krishna, the most beloved Hindu deities, was himself a guider of sheep. It is a metaphor that crosses traditional boundaries, that reaches maybe right into the core of religion itself. Because after all, folks, what do we want of a deity or a prophet or a parent in the first place? What is it that we want from the Lord Krishna, from King David, and in the end from God herself, if not a steady hand, a familiar voice, and a path towards safety, and a shelter from the storm? The religions of the world have tailored their stories, their myths, and their leaders to fit this particular metaphor, just because it's convenient, but because it's compelling. Because sometimes we all need to be guided by a gentle hand, because we don't always know the way home, and sometimes all it takes is a familiar nudge to get us headed in the right direction. After all, from what little I know of shepherds, they don't stand right next to the sheep all day long. The shepherd doesn't even give the sheep their food. The shepherd simply lets the sheep wander where they will, finding their way, seeking their own sustenance. And when the time comes, and when necessity calls, the shepherd steps in and helps them to see the direction of their own footsteps. and frighten away the predators. The shepherd then doesn't do the work for us. The shepherd just watches and gives us a hand when we need it the most. Just last week, Anise led us through, and the choir led us through, this wonderful exploration of images of God, right? From God as the natural force of joy that moves the squirrel to play high in the trees, to God as the weaver that connects the dark and light threads of human life. Those images were so rich and so meaningful, and they helped us to think of this thing people call God in larger and more helpful ways. Because so often we know that the images of God religion offers us are overwhelmingly familiar. There is God as King, God as Judge, God as Father, and God as absent landlord, expecting much, but offering little in return. To the list we started building last week, God is nature, God is mother, God is weaver, God is joy. I add this week the vision of God as shepherd. God is the voice that lets us wander free and then guides us home at night, as the one voice that we recognize as true in the cacophony of other voices, as the spirit within which calls us to go in the direction we are meant to go. Very often we are the voice of the shepherd for one another, and thus I would be so bold as to say we speak wholly with the voice of God. We are the ones who honk the horn and pound the door for one another, the ones who point the way for the people we love most, and very, very often, perhaps more often than many of us would like to admit, we are also on the receiving end of such shepherding. We are found when we are lost. We are given hope when we thought it was gone. And perhaps in the end, we are all sheep and we are all shepherds, caught in an inescapable net in which God's voice is the voice of compassion and meaning, which, however quiet, never stops tugging at us until we have the courage to hear. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, one of the parables of Jesus offers among the most popular descriptions of the shepherd in religious practice. It's an age-old image of the good shepherd, an idea of the ever-willing presence of the shepherd, always able to find people when they're lost, to leave the rest of the flock behind and seek after the one in need of care. These are familiar words. The Gospel of Luke reads, "Which of you men, if you had 100 sheep and lost one of them, wouldn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who was lost until he found it? When he has found it, he carries it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that even so there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous people who need no repentance." Realize that many interpretations of this passage in traditional churches focus mostly not on what the shepherd is doing, but who exactly is the lost sheep. What variety of sin, what measure of lostness qualifies a person to have gone astray? But I read it differently. I read it through my own eyes. The eyes of a person who knows what it feels like to be lost in a wilderness of sorrow and worry, who has felt the isolation of wandering too far away, perhaps to not too far away from God or too far away from purity or something like that, but too far away from the path I am meant to tread. So many of us know that feeling of having wandered so far in a broken place or a sad place that we are no longer quite able to see the way back. The wilderness becomes our only reality and home, that place where hope lives and purpose for our lives waits, seems so far away. But the parable tells us something we need to hear. that the shepherd would leave the flock to tend for their own selves and seek after each one of us in our own despair, find us even in the darkness, and bring us hope even when we thought it was lost to us. The power of the shepherd has something to do with the magnificent idea that God would peer through the deepest misery and find there the smallest glimmer of hope to set our footsteps in the right direction. That those who are lost in darkness, both forced upon them and created by them, are not lost forever, and that there is always, always, the possibility of return. Of course, this willingness to leave behind the 99 in pursuit of just one essentially makes God not just any shepherd, but an absolutely crazy shepherd. Because who but a crazy shepherd would leave the flock and seek after one? Either a shepherd in momentary leave of his senses, or one who has every faith that the flock can generally take care of itself just fine. And perhaps that's absolutely the case. Most of the time, we can take care of ourselves just fine. We don't need the silent voice of the shepherd guiding us home. We've got it together and we can manage just fine, thank you. But sometimes in our darkness and in our fear, as we sort through the limited possibilities before us and the depths of our own struggles, something or someone must come searching us out and remind us that our path is not lost forever. If God is anything at all, why should God not be the force of hope that seeks us out? Why should God be anything more or less than a crazy shepherd who searches for us in the dark night of our soul and gives us the gift of hope? We can't always take it upon ourselves as parents, as friends, as companions on the journey to invite every prodigal home to our house. We can't always take it upon ourselves to bind up all the brokenhearted. But as friends, as parents, as companions on the journey, we know we're often called to stay with the flock, to tend the needs of the many, to ensure that the enormous responsibilities of life get fulfilled. We can't always leave the 99 and search out the one. But what if we don't have to do it all by ourselves? Maybe we can't always bring the wayward son home. Maybe we cannot always be the ones searching out the people in darkness. But the voice of the shepherd does not have to be your voice alone. Even if you take a vacation, if God is a crazy shepherd, and if we are all a part of God's work, then the voice can ring out, the way home can be pointed, and the message of hope can be given, even when we least expect it. God is a shepherd, maybe, a crazy one, who will leave all the rest to fend for themselves and seek out the one most in need of hope. If we can believe that, even a little bit, even if only as a metaphor, then maybe we can also believe that there is promise for all wayward sons and daughters, including ourselves. Maybe we can believe that there is a way home for us that is always being shouted out in many voices, in many ways, if only we have the patience to hear it. May it be so, and amen.